I'd like a petit filet mignon, very lean. Not so lean that it lacks flavor, but not so fat that it leaves drippings on the plate. And I don't want it cooked, just lightly seared on either side, pink in the middle. Not a true pink, but not a mauve either. Something in between. Bearing in mind, the slightest error either way and it's ruined.
Okay.
And that's from Frasier. That's Niles and his picky eating habits. And think about eating in your life or with your family. You know, eating, the whole focus on food can become a power struggle. You've got to eat. I told you you've got to eat. Or don't eat those chips. I told you not to eat those chips. And you just see the whole family dynamics coming out around the area of food. Or sometimes it's for attention getting. You know, oh, Mom, you're eating meat? And they're a vegetarian, but they may not be a vegetarian because they truly believe in it. It may be other issues that are driving them to just get back at Mom or to get some attention from Mom. So there are a lot of issues involved with food, and I'm a clinical psychologist, and I can take your calls and questions on anything around food or around problems with a spouse or your kids or problems with a coworker or problems with yourself. Maybe you're procrastinating or maybe you just don't feel like you have any good focus in life. You don't have a good compass in your own life and you want some direction. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness and my number is toll free 1-877-DRKENNER. And you can also visit my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com. Lots of articles and books that I recommend. And you can also hear parts of the show that you may have missed. And right now, let's turn to the phones and welcome Sherry. Sherry, your husband has some anger problems?
Yes. I mean, he's had it his whole life. And it's just, he doesn't know how to control his anger. I know he had that problem whenever he was a little boy, too. But, I mean, we can just, like, be driving down the road. It seems like everybody is always in his way. And, I mean, we own our own business and everything. And he's always in a rush everywhere we go. And it's like everybody's in his way. And everybody needs to get out of his way. And we have kids, two grown sons that have made bad choices in different areas of their life, and they're causing, you know, different problems, and so that causes, you know, him to get more frustrated and everything. And my husband's had a heart attack in May, but I'm the one that usually, the anger usually gets directed my way, and I'm the one that gets like all the verbal.
You're the shock absorbers. You're the shock absorber.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I just get tired of it. I mean, I've been married to him for 28 years. I get verbally abused and, you know, I mean, I have been, you know, physically abused too here and there. And I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if he needs to be on medication. He doesn't want to go to counseling. He said he didn't, you know, it's not going to do no good to tell somebody else's problems. And so, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what to do with him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's a great guy, but whenever this anger comes about, you know, it's frustrating.
How often does it happen? You said whenever. Well, is it daily? Is it weekly? Or is it
weekly? I would say weekly.
And he, what's the worst it's gotten with you when you say physical abuse? What has he done?
He's like pushed me down. He's taken his fist and hit me in the arm before. In my younger years, I mean, he blacked my eye. And it's just, I mean, he says really mean things to me.
Such as what? What's one of the worst?
To kill me or, you know, or if you come back to this house, there's going to be a gun waiting for you and, you know, and stuff like that. But it's all whenever he's at that really anger time, you know, of his life. And then it's like whenever that's passed, then it's like, you know, I feel I'm hurt from what he said to me, but I'm supposed to just get over it, you know. And I mean, that's what he tells me. I was mad. You should understand that, you know, just get over it.
Okay, see, and go ahead.
And it's just, I mean, it's hard because, I mean, I'm a girl, and whenever he says mean stuff to me, especially, you know, I got a gun waiting for you and this and that, you know, it's hard to get over, just to get over that kind of stuff.
He
you
has
know?
Guns?
And I just don't know what the answer is. Yeah. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know.
He has
I don't know what the answer is.
He has guns in the house?
Yeah.
He uses them. Safety. How many times have you wanted to leave him?
How many times have I wanted to leave him?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of times. I mean, he, like right now, he's gone. We have some property out of town, and he's gone there because, I mean, he dumped me off at my mom's house yesterday. And because, I mean, sometimes I can't put up with the way he's acting. And so I just don't want to be around him. And so he took off and went out of town for a few days. And I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just not, we can't ever discuss anything like in a normal fashion. You know, it's like, everything, if you try to discuss a problem or anything, I mean, both of our sons are getting a divorce at the same time. And I mean, there's all kinds of issues that bring on the anger and stuff, but it's just, he don't know how to deal with like life's situations. I mean, life
and
does have a lot of bad stuff.
And he faces a choice,
in it, you
know? Right.
And he just don't know how to deal with it. He deals with it in an irrational way instead of just sitting down and saying, okay, we got this problem, let's work through it. We don't do that. It's
could
like,
you do that on your own, Sherry? If you decided to leave him, you would have safety issues to deal with, obviously, because if he's got abandonment issues, if he's got control issues, if he's got maybe I'm not lovable issues, if he's, mm-hmm. It sounds like he needs to control the boys, and that may
right.
Have,
he needs to be in control of everything.
He needs to control you. He needs, and that's a man out of control. That's a man who's insecure. That's a man who does not like his own decision making and doesn't want anyone to call attention to it, which is why he can't use reason with you,
right.
Because it will shine a light on his own bad choices. And
right.
If his policy is to push away that self-knowledge, to never face it, to never let it get too close to the surface, then when it starts to get a little closer to the surface, like if you bring up someone getting divorced, well, that's been in the background of your life for how many years? 28 years, probably.
Right.
Then it's too close for comfort, and he'll use his coping strategies, which are awful. They're attacking your life. They're threatening your life. So I would say get your focus, I wanted to use a word I can't use on radio, but get your focus off of him fundamentally and onto yourself. Whose life is this?
My life.
It's your life. And the quality of your life at whatever age matters. It really matters. And you're wanting your life, but you don't know how to disengage from him.
Right.
So there is a book you can get. That's an older book, Men Who Hate Women and the Women Who Love Them. And I'm not saying he can't be nice at times, but so can the worst criminal. So if you've been in an abusive relationship, which is exactly what it is, you can even Google signs of abuse and you will get, he's gone way overboard. When I used to work with veterans who had killed people and asked, you know, and you look at their romantic relationship, I would ask questions such as, do you know, have you ever yelled at each other? Is there any kicking or punching or biting or pushing downstairs or threatening? And one at the end point, you have threatening a life. That's the most serious. So he's already been there. So you are in an abusive relationship. That means you have to deal with safety issues. That means you need a therapist ASAP. A personal therapist, and you can just tell him you're going in, you know, you need to deal with the safety issues. So you don't have to go in, I'm going in to see how I can leave you. You can just say, you know, I want some advice on how to manage a few situations or something. You can leave it somewhat vague if you want.
Right.
But I would go to the Academy of CT, academyofcognitivetherapy.org. And you can find a cognitive therapist in your area to deal with this issue. I think it's beyond a marital issue. I think it's an abuse issue. I think that he's not open to reason from what you're telling me, and it's so long. The pattern's there. He could change himself, but he's not asking that. So you can figure out how to liberate yourself. And if you've got a lot of skills or can gain some skills to work and live independently, I think you want to open that up as an option for yourself. Listen, I want to thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
In deciding whether to forgive your partner for an injustice, consider, is there evidence that the person has really changed? The more serious the offense or the more long-term the problem, the longer it takes to know if the partner has genuinely reformed. Don't forgive too soon. Many people are repeat offenders. No one else can make the decision to forgive for you, nor are there any formulas, only guiding principles such as those just listed, and often a great deal of thought. Take the case of adultery. For many individuals, such an act is unforgivable, and the hurt partner immediately terminates the relationship. To others, it might signal that something is very wrong with the relationship, and the response would be to uncover the causes and decide whether the partnership can or should be repaired.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.